Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me as always is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
Throughout 2025, Ted and I have been preaching through the book of Acts. It's not our first time through the book, but the Holy Spirit has a way of highlighting different things at different times. Today on the podcast, Ted and I discuss some of our key takeaways from the book of Acts. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 26. So you guys are both going to Thailand. This will be your first time.
First time.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I think so.
I think when this comes out, you will have either, you'll either be in Thailand or you'll have just gotten back.
Gotten back. Good. Well, yeah, then we can give an update. Yeah. It was a great trip.
And what are you thinking
about
it so far?
What about that plane ride? Man, it was amazing.
What are your thoughts when you think about it? Like, what do you think about the plane ride, pretty much, or what else?
Yeah. I'm praying, Lord, help me survive the plane ride. Mm. Yeah. Other than that, just help us to be an encourager. Mm-hmm. Don't pat heads, don't point with feet, those other
cultural
stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
He'll be fine.
You guys are going to do like a music camp of some kind?
They wanted us to maybe teach a couple of guitar lessons, work with the kids on some worship songs.
Yeah.
And maybe even do a children's thing.
Yeah, and I guess you're going to preach on a Sunday.
And then we'll preach on Sunday. I got to keep it to 15 minutes, so we should practice that.
Yeah, 15 minutes because of the translation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've been out of the country a couple times, right? Or just the one time?
If you count going to Mexico.
Sure.
I don't know, maybe a couple times.
Twice. When did you go to Mexico?
With the district. They had a big conference when I was district Christian education director. They were all excited about a church that was being planted in Mexico, and it was right across the border, so we all went over. So the district superintendents, assistant district superintendents, all went over in buses to this church, and it was packed. I mean, thousands of people were there, and they were under a tent.
So our mission team is going to help support Remember New. If you listen to the podcast a long time, we had Michael and Elsie on here maybe last year or the year before talking about their ministry there. And so we're excited to see them and to just serve the ministry there. Their mission is to end sex trafficking in Thailand. And they do that through prevention, so by taking care of kids. And so they basically have homes where kids can come and live. And a lot of our folks in our church support some of the kids that are there and have supported for years. And so part of what we'll be doing is visiting those kids. Some of the folks on the team are our sponsors. And so they'll get to visit with their counterpart there that they've been supporting,
hopefully.
Which will be cool. And then, we just want to go support that ministry. So we'll be learning a lot about Thai culture and getting a sense of the context where they live. And, serving on the grounds there in some ways. So we have some musical people, so we'll be doing a music camp of some kind, maybe doing some other sort of work, and then just spending time with the kids.
And according to the schedule, we're supposed to have dinner in each of the different houses every evening. So look forward to that.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Get some authentic Thai food.
Authentic Thai food. We'll see how it compares.
Next time we record, you'll have gone, so that's cool.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
If you attend our church, we've been preaching through the book of Acts for the last months. I mean, most of this year, I guess.
Yes.
I'm not sure quite when we started in Acts. We're now in the final chapters, and so we're sort of wrapping it up. You know, we've read the book of Acts a bunch of times, maybe even preached through it before. But I'm curious, I thought you and I could talk today, Ted, about what has stood out to you as we've been preaching through Acts this time around, right?
Yeah.
What do we feel like the Lord has been speaking to our congregation and just what has jumped out at you as you have prepped and shared and that kind of thing? We've had a focus in the Daily Thread, our other podcast, about the book of Acts. We've gone through all the chapters and had different people give devotions on different portions of Scripture.
Yeah.
And and we've been preaching through it. So what has stood out to you this year?
Yeah. Well, I think it's been a great preaching and teaching opportunity to get into the Word of God and to get to Acts. Acts, you know, when you look at it, it's a historical book, and of Of course, what we've said, is it descriptive of what the apostles and disciples went through, or is it prescriptive? Is something for us today as believers to practice? The Word of God, the Bible, is a living Word, so it's always fresh. There are major themes throughout the whole book of Acts, and I've always liked to introduce it as, well, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, but I believe it's the Acts of Jesus Christ in the lives of the apostles.
Sure, and, or we might say the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Right? The Acts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and we see that. And so one of the verses that stood out was Acts 1:8, you know, and we go to that as the theme verse of the whole book. Jesus gives to his disciples, telling them, hey, I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and when you do, I want you to wait, and my Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to come, and you will receive power, and you'll become my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the other parts of the world, and you will experience, you know, my fullness in and through your life. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think, as we looked at that verse, you know, as a follower of Jesus, everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit is in you and in me, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is with us always. He's speaking to our hearts if we're listening, and we can have the mind of Christ. We can be filled with the Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit may just, you know, grab our attention, and we share Jesus with somebody, and God begins to show up, and lives are changed and transformed, and Jesus is exalted, yeah, and his name is lifted on high. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, what you called that was the promise and power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we definitely see that in Acts 1:8, really.
We do see
chapter
that.
1, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see that in chapter 1. I really love the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then God comes through and he gives the Holy Spirit, and yeah, we're filled. And that's
in chapter 2, right? When the day of Pentecost,
yes,
arrived.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And people are just amazed that these disciples, followers of Jesus, can understand them, relate to them, talk to them
in their
own language.
Yeah.
It should be encouraging for all of us that the Lord has not abandoned us or left us as orphans, but he has given us the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's promised that, but he's also fulfilled that.
Yeah.
And all we have to do is ask him.
It's interesting, and that image of the disciples, because they were fishermen and mostly, you know, they were various people, tax collector and a zealot, and but they weren't necessarily, yeah, learned people. They weren't people who had been to, you know, rabbi school or whatever.
Right.
Except they sat under Jesus. And so everybody was super surprised when they opened their mouths and started saying these things. And it's similar reaction to what Jesus got. They were like, this guy's from Nazareth. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
this guy's from Galilee.
Who is he? He's the carpenter's son.
Yeah, exactly. Like, isn't this guy just a carpenter? And people were surprised when he opened his mouth and spoke. And then you see the same thing happening in the disciples, right, through the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that I've noticed going through this time, that it's not as though this is the first time that I've seen,
yeah,
it, but it's definitely been highlighted to me a lot, is how these cross-cultural boundaries are being demolished through the movement of the Holy Spirit. And it starts there in chapter 2, that, mm-hmm, passage that you were talking about,
yes,
where through language. Remember, it's not just language that's being crossed there. There's people from all over, from the diaspora, so vastly different cultures, trying to adhere to the law, you know, following the Jewish system. They were growing up and living in different places, and so they had a different way of observing the law, right? As we read,
yes,
as we've read, when Paul gets further out from Jerusalem, they're not meeting in synagogues. You know, they're meeting maybe by the water, because maybe there's not enough people in town to constitute a synagogue. And that Jewish culture is going to be really different than the Jewish culture within Jerusalem, mm-hmm, right? Because they're not, yeah, a majority, they're a minority. So I keep seeing all of these, even within the Jewish context, cross-cultural lines. And then, of course, there's, you know, the big line, which is between Jew and Gentile, right? In the book of Acts, they are crossing. Obviously, that leads to a lot of trouble. I like the passage in Acts 10. Peter has the vision.
Yes.
And Cornelius has a vision. Cornelius, yes, is a Gentile, but he's trying to follow the Jewish way.
Yep.
He has a vision. He sends for Peter. Peter has his own vision.
Yep.
And in chapter 10, verse 25, Peter goes to visit Cornelius, met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter,
yeah,
lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man.
Yep.
And as he talked with him, he went in and found many people gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew, meaning himself, Peter, to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. That's a Gentile. But
right,
God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean.
Yeah.
So when I was sent for, I came without objection. So why did you send for me? We're all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord, you know, to tell us. Verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and he said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. It, I think, really hard for us in our context today, in the U.S. at least, to recognize how significant this moment was in the life of the church, how solid that boundary had been. This is something that they'd grown up believing, you know?
Right.
Like God, we're God's chosen people.
Right.
God talks to us, and that's it. Yeah. Our God doesn't talk to them.
That's right.
You know? So for Peter to say this is a really big deal. You know, he's like, actually, I've changed my mind about this. God has shown me that that way of thinking was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a huge boundary line that is crossed.
Yeah. He crosses that because God shows up in Peter's life and is in Peter's life, and Peter is listening to the Holy Spirit, and he responds to the Holy Spirit in faith and obedience. And so he goes with Cornelius, which is really cool. Hmm. And so... so Peter is so in tune with the Lord in that moment that he's, you know, again, I harp on that, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, breathe in the Spirit, because I strive, I want to do that, and I fall so short at times. But Peter in this moment, he does, he hears, he listens, he obeys, he goes, gives a gospel, you know, and it's reflective, like we've talked about before, when you think about the life of Jesus and how he shows up, and he says, hey guys, we're going to take a little detour, we're going to go into Samaria, you know, and he shows up at the Samaritan well with the Samaritan woman and shares the gospel and reveals that he is the Messiah to her. There was prejudice against them. Samaritans didn't like the Jews. Mm-hmm. Well, we worship over here. Well, you worship over there.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Jesus says, oh, there's a time coming when those who follow me will worship me in spirit and in truth, which is really cool. And that ties in your thought there about how God is breaking down the barriers.
For Peter to go and do that, to listen to the Holy Spirit, he's breaking with a tradition that he's grown up with, that everyone around him has grown up
with. Yeah, there's and a risk.
It's not just a tradition like, this is the food I like, or this is what I like to drink in the morning. It's a tradition that was related to their faith, to their idea of who God was and who they were
right.
in relationship to God. So it wasn't a small thing. It was a vital, like, to their faith idea that God needed to break down, needed to help them move beyond.
Right?
They needed to help them move beyond. So for Peter to do it, like the leader of the church, and then Paul, this great evangelist of the church, to break with that tradition was a really, really big deal. And it's what got them in trouble. It's definitely what got Paul in trouble, right? Is because he started trying to include Gentiles.
Yeah.
And that's what made the other Jewish leaders already didn't like what he was saying about Jesus. But once he said, no, this is for everybody, that's when there were riots.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's when...
They got upset.
Yeah.
Well, and then even the outsiders who were Gentiles, who were not accustomed to hearing about Christ as the way, the truth of life. They were upset hearing about it.
Yeah, the silversmith.
The silversmith, you're taking away my money from my business. I'm making these idols.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. And what are you doing? You're telling me that they don't have to do that? What's going on here? So there was a lot of reaction.
Yeah. It challenged them, right?
It challenged
them. That's really jumped out at me this time reading through, how every time Paul goes to a new place, like especially the further he gets from Jerusalem, the more those challenges arise. And it's like, no, this isn't our religion. We're Romans. This isn't ours. What this guy's talking about is foreign.
Right.
We don't want that foreign idea. Get it out of here, and they run them out of town.
Yeah.
You know? So he finds that within the Jewish community and within the Gentile community.
We're going to kill them.
Right. Yeah. That this distrust of foreigners, this even hatred of a different way. I mean, that's really central. It's basically in every chapter in the back half of Acts as Paul is traveling, you just see this conflict so present. And what does that mean? I mean, the Holy Spirit is in the midst of that, trying to make peace, right? Trying to say, look, you're all invited to this thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people reject it. And why? That's not what we grew up believing.
Right.
Peter and Paul let go of this tradition that they've had.
Right.
Because they're just too close to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is like leading them and they got to do it. They're like, look, this is where God's going. I got to go here.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable for them.
Right.
But they got to do it. You know what I mean?
Because
this is where God's leading them. But, you know, as that message goes out, it bothers people. Big time.
Oh, it does.
Because it makes them uncomfortable.
Sure. And the gospel will do that. When the Lord shows up in your life, there is Holy Spirit conviction. Okay, what do I do with Jesus now? And so forth. Have you received Christ? beautiful thing, takes away all your sin, gives you eternal life. But then you start walking with the Lord, and He challenges you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. Holy Spirit's for everybody. You know, Peter, he responds to all that, and he tells the church that, and, you know, in Acts 11:17, he says, if then God gave the same gift to them as He gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I, that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God. And this was the church in Jerusalem. They glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. And God wants everyone to know Him in a real relational way. He wants to forgive you of your sin, and He wants you to repent, which means, you know, I'm going to turn away from my wickedness and follow the Lord. So,
yeah, and Paul repeats that idea, right? Of the salvation for everybody is what you're saying.
Yes.
In chapter 13, verse 47, for so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. He's quoting another scripture there.
And yes.
He's claiming that over his life. He's saying the Lord has commanded us to be this light for the Gentiles.
That's absolutely
verse 48, great. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord.
Yep.
And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. I think that language of appointment and election, that when it happens in Acts, they're trying to make a connection between that and Israel, God's chosen people.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you can go down a lot of different theological tracks with that idea. So I'm not talking about the quote-unquote doctrine of election. But when it says things like that, when it says as many as were appointed, or the elect, when it says those sorts of things, I think the gospel writers or the writer of Acts, or even in the epistles when it shows that, they're trying to draw a line between this idea that God's chosen you with the idea that Israel as God's chosen people. So it's like, hey, He chose them too. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I made you a light for the Gentiles. I've also chosen them. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. It's for everyone. Salvation
is for
everyone, like you said.
And what's beautiful about that is the reaction when the Gentiles hear this. You know, those who believe, man, they rejoice in hearing this good news. Hey, God loves us too. You know? God desires for you to know Him. He wants the very best for your life. And God will give you the strength and the courage and the ability when you hear Him to respond in obedience and maybe respond like a Peter, Paul, I can't help but do what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
Break down the barriers.
Exactly.
So it's okay, you know?
Yeah, who is it that needs to be included?
It's
not being included now.
Yes.
And you can say that from culture to culture, church to
church. Absolutely.
You can say it from heart to heart, like individuals. Who are you right now, unknowingly or knowingly, excluding from the gospel?
Yeah.
Through your prejudice or through just your ideas about them, your judgments about them, because they're different from you in some way.
That's
who are
right.
you excluding? Because in Acts, the Holy Spirit is about this radical inclusion. And that's what gets Paul in trouble, is when they start trying to include the poor, when they start trying to include the outsiders.
When they, and when the, you know, going back for a little history of Christian Missionary Alliance, you know, back in the late 1800s, when Dr. A.B. Simpson was pastoring the Second Presbyterian Church in New York City, he had a
very... So this is before the Alliance was the Alliance, and this was just Pastor Simpson?
Yeah, Pastor Simpson, and he was preaching in his congregation. God was burdening him to go to Ellis Island and to preach the gospel to the immigrants, and there were many Italians who were receptive, and so he started bringing them in.
Mm-hmm.
So half the church on one side were all immigrants, and mostly Italian from Ellis Island, and the other half were the wealthy and the rich New Yorkers, and the two sides, they didn't like each other. You know, you could cut it with a knife. So the church basically had to say to Simpson, hey, you got to choose, either choose us or choose them. And as he prayed about it, he said, I got to do what God wants me to do. And he started reaching out to the immigrants on Ellis Island, resigned his church, you know, left a prominent church in New York City with a prominent salary.
What he was asking them to do, they couldn't do.
They couldn't
change.
They couldn't see.
This is a great example, Ted, because that's exactly the same thing that was happening with these early church leaders, is that, like, God's throwing this door wide open, but the people who are already inside were made uncomfortable by this radical inclusion.
Yeah.
So yeah, what happened with Simpson? He had to leave the church.
Yeah, he did. But every human being is made in the likeness and the image of God. Sin likes to come in and warp our thoughts, you know, and so forth, especially as the gospel is drawing near to those individuals. That's the challenge. And it's a challenge for us individually to remember when we come across something that is even culturally a challenge for us.
Sure.
That individual is made in the likeness of God.
That's right. Yeah. How can I internally let the dividing lines between us dissolve or break down? You know, like how can I let Jesus do that in me? So you're talking about sharing Jesus with them, which is great, and we need to.
Yeah.
But you might first need to let Jesus change your insides.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. We've talked about that, you know, overseas. You know, it used to be, well, man, I'm going to go win Africa for Christ. And we'd bring, you know, in the early missions movement, they'd bring organs.
Bring a lot more than the gospel.
Over, right. We bring the Western culture over. But, you know, the Apostle Paul, he said what? To the Roman, I become a Roman. To the Jew, I become a Jew.
Right.
To the slave, I become a slave. Why? So that I might win all. You know, that I'm paraphrasing it, but that's the desire that Paul had. He says, and basically, you know, to me, that says, I'm a servant.
Yeah.
I'm a servant.
And you got to recognize that God's at work in that culture.
Absolutely.
That's what Peter does. Peter's like, look, the Holy Spirit's moving here. Yeah. So what am I going to do? I'm going to stand over here and say, no, he's not. It's obvious that he is. And so I have to recognize God is at work here in this culture that is very different from mine. It's a different language, a different style of relationship. That's absolutely what's happening in Acts.
God is
That's the miracle, I think, of the early church is that all these different people could be gathered under one roof, you know, in a house church, whether they're at different economic status, different you know, backgrounds.
Yeah.
And they found a way to be one, to be unified, and to even share their possessions. That's such a big deal. And I think that is one of the biggest miracles of the early church.
Yeah, honestly. I love Acts chapter. I mean, that's another passage that we really didn't focus on, but Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 about that.
Yeah,
unity in the church, the oneness that they have, everything had in common. It doesn't mean that I'm a carbon copy of my brother and sister Christ. No, it just means that a thread that unites us, and that thread is Jesus.
Yeah.
And man, because of him, I'm able to love my brother and sister and help them in their need. They can help me in my need.
Well, if you're keeping track at home, that's 3 points that we've had. The promise and power of the Holy Spirit, the cross-cultural boundaries that are being obliterated, the fact that salvation is for all. And then number 4, the similarity that we see in Acts to the ministry of Jesus.
Yes.
There's so much change that's happening in Acts. Like we've been talking about, crossing cultural lines and the gospel spreading, change happening within the synagogues and change happening outside of the synagogue. What I've really noticed reading through this time is how much these ministries mirror what happened to Jesus.
Mm.
And even the way that Luke, I think Luke is very intentional as he writes that. What you're seeing is this ministry, the same things that happened in the life of Jesus, happen in the life of his disciples in Jerusalem, and then they happen in Ephesus. They happen in other places. Mm. And we see Paul raise somebody from the dead. We see Eutychus, right?
Yes.
We see Paul get persecuted by the Jewish people and those outside of the Jewish community. We see him accused of blasphemy, just like Jesus was at the end of Acts, and the miracles. And so I've just really noticed how much what they're doing looks like what Jesus was doing.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Salvation to the poor and the oppressed. And now here he's bringing up the Gentiles, the despised within our community.
Yeah.
And how this is it's clearly a continuation of the ministry of Jesus. It's what he said. He's like, you're going to do the same things I did and even greater things.
Even greater things. Yeah. You're going to do even greater things. And people will respond to you like they responded to Jesus. So it shouldn't surprise us if we are experiencing persecution for our faith. We need to be mindful that as we are obedient, there are going to be some who respond and believe and rejoice in hearing the good news of Jesus, and there'll be others who are like, want to run us out of town. So we have to be faithful.
Jesus associated with people that the religious folks didn't like him associating with. The disciples even corrected him sometimes. They were like, what are you doing
hanging out with a Samaritan woman. Yeah.
When he showed up and like in Jerusalem and people are cheering his name, it's like, you can see these masses of the poor, you know, that he was speaking on behalf of. He was one of them practically, you know,
yes.
and he was speaking on their behalf and he was healing them. It's the folks who were in power that didn't love that. And man, we just see that throughout Acts, like who's in there stirring up trouble. It's people who had money and now they don't because this idea is challenging the way they made their money. Yeah. Or they had authority in the synagogue and now they have less because this idea is challenging the way that they did it.
Right.
And they're so offended with zeal, you know, at the end of Acts, right, with that plot to kill Paul. These guys are so offended, so full of zeal for the Lord, which means commitment to his law and will.
Right.
That's what zeal means. They're so committed to the law and will of the Lord and to the idea that they're his special elect.
Right.
That they're willing to
break
the law
sure.
to kill Paul.
Well, right? They say, yeah, I'm not going to eat or sleep until I kill him.
Yeah.
I don't want to happen to them. But what did it take for Paul to come to Jesus?
Mm.
It took Jesus showing up and knocking him off his horse, causing him to be blind. And for 3 days, I mean, God could have just taken him out, but he didn't because God had a wonderful plan for Paul's life.
I think it's worth noting, too, that it was a Christian brother who found Paul. You know, Paul went to him blind.
That's right.
But this guy Ananias took care of him, helped him escape the city and all this stuff.
Oh, man.
And so, like, God, through another person, ministered the gospel to Paul. And we do have that promise and power of the Holy Spirit, and we do understand that salvation is for everyone.
Mm.
And so I think Acts is teaching us to keep pushing on the boundaries that are within your own heart and within your community. Like, keep pressing on those boundaries because the Holy Spirit is in the business of moving beyond them, of crossing those borders that we built. I just want to see more of that. I think that's what the church is still called to do. I think that's what the ministry of Jesus was, and we see how it continued and spread. And in order to spread it, we need to die to those boundaries that we create, especially in the religious community, especially when we've grown up in a certain way of doing things and a certain idea of what things mean. We have to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow where he leads and push on boundaries. And I know that that makes some traditionally minded folks nervous, or it can, because they're like, wait, well, God already told us what to do, and we're doing it. And to that, I would say, God is still speaking. And he's not going to speak to contradict what he said before, but you're going to understand something new about him that you didn't understand 20 years ago. I hope, if you're walking with him,
you're
getting
growing
closer to him, you're knowing him,
and grace,
and it's opening, and it's expanding, and it's tearing down walls, not putting them up.
Well, it's, you know, the Lord will not do, I believe, anything contrary to his written word. You know, and the Holy Spirit will not do anything contrary to his written word and revelation that he's given us. And he will always promote Christ and honor and glorify him. And for the sake of the gospel, God wants people everywhere to know him, to experience his love in his fullness. He wants his followers to know and experience his love in his fullness. And through that love and experiencing of his fullness, God does do that sculpting work. And he begins to chip away. Sometimes he has to chip away at the same spot for a long time because it's a stubborn area that he's got to get out. God wants to stretch us to trust him for provision, trust him for protection, trust him for the promise of his Spirit, hallelujah, but also trust him for his presence as we obey. And we see that through Paul, don't we? We see the Lord's presence there, and we see that through it in the action of Peter. And I'm grateful for the Lord giving us those examples because that encourages us even today.
Thanks for joining us on the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here. And we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts for this show, as well as our daily devotionals and other podcasts we make. All of our content is produced in-house by the ZAC Media team. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.
I wrote a song in college called Tear Down Those Walls.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wasn't that your album name?
Yeah.
Or was it just the single, or was it the whole album?
It was the whole album name,
yeah.
But Tear Down Those Walls. And we sang it on tour for NIAC around all those. Oh, they got letters of complaints.
How come?
About it. Because one word says, you know, don't throw in the towel. That was a lyric. Yeah. Know, like a fighter goes in and throws in the towel.
Yeah, yeah.
God doesn't want us to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
People didn't like that lyric.
It was too, because it was promoting boxing?
I guess, or it was just saying, hey, why are you putting that? That's not biblical.